Hey there, folks. Welcome to this episode of Stew on This. I'm Stu Bittman. This one's called Living Under a Brain. If you know me at all, you know that I'm a big advocate of the heart, and that I tend to recommend living and choosing from the heart rather than from the head. I just want you to know I realize that the brain is an incredible organ. It's intricate, it's amazing, it's indispensable, it's critical for my survival. It's just that it seems to be the only organ in there that doesn't always support my highest good, especially when it's disconnected from my heart. My spleen, for instance, as far as I know, has never attempted to sabotage me or belittle me or compare me to others or have me feel overwhelmed. It has my back 24/7. My brain? Not so much. In fact, it can absolutely ruin my day. So, as long as you and I are living under a brain, I think that we can count on the fact that our brains are going to do what brains do. And this includes creating instantaneous stories and meanings that often aren't what things mean at all. Creating imaginary big pictures from one tiny piece of information. Jumping to conclusions and then reacting to those conclusions as if they were the absolute truth. Seeking approval from other people's brains and comparing ourselves to other people's brains and generally bouncing back and forth between satisfaction when things go well on the outside and suffering when they don't. Yes, indeed, it can get pretty exhausting under these brains. Excuse me. And the irony is that none of that brain activity, especially its tendency to react to what's happening on the outside, brings us anywhere near what we really want, which is love, joy, peace, serenity, harmony. Those are all inside jobs. And we sometimes forget to look inside and to look under the turbulence and simply allow all that good stuff that we most deeply desire to unfold from the inside out. As I said last week or the week before, I'm not sure anymore, innate never has a bad day. So there are always calm seas below the superficial, insane levels of our consciousness where all the chaos exists and probably always will. So perhaps one of the best things to do while we're still living under a brain is to observe all the chaos and the roller coaster-ness from a more neutral place, a more still place, from our heart. Folks, when we connect with our heart first, our brain works better. When we connect with our heart, we get some space from what our brains have created while they were flying solo. We can allow our brains to do their thing, but also keep an eye on them and rein them in when they invariably get carried away by their own stories. For me, it's a matter of connect with my heart first and ask questions later. It's about looking at the facts of life from the highest point of view and from the most grounded place, what I call my still place. I imagine that we would all prefer to watch a tennis match than to be the ball. Being in our still place is like sitting up in the umpire's chair at a tennis match. It's a lot better perspective than being the ball. Being in our still place is like sitting up on a rock just above all the crashing and thrashing of the sea and surf going on. It's like being in the eye of a hurricane. And from our still place, we have a higher, more grounded perspective. We're connected to, we're aware of our values and principles. We can respond. We can create. We can choose rather than react. We can be still while the world and our brains swirl around. Because our still place is the island of peace in our soul. It's our refuge, our safe haven from the storms of our brains and of the world. And it's important to realize that this still place exists within us even when things aren't so still on the outside. It's been really easy for me to access when we go hiking, which we've been doing a lot of, because often when we're hiking, other than the occasional airplane going by, there's no sound at all except for nature's song. Well, it might be easier then, but our still place never goes away. My still place never leaves, but when I let my head fly solo, I most definitely leave my still place. I experienced my still place probably more than anywhere else in any other time in Panama on chiropractic missions when it was incredibly hot. The noise levels were staggering. It was about the largest masses of humanity I've ever been surrounded by. But spent a week in my still place. Perhaps it was the lack of food for my brain that allowed me to be there for hours at a time. Because I didn't know the people. I couldn't understand them. I couldn't understand what they thought of me or what they thought they needed. I couldn't follow up with anyone. I wasn't being paid. So again, there was nothing for my brain to chew on. Those mission experiences also taught me that being in our still place doesn't mean we vegetate or spend our life on the couch or sit in a cave or escape from the world, that we don't do or accomplish anything, man. On one of the Panama missions, I adjusted 2,000 people in 5 hours, so I was apparently accomplishing something. Indeed, everything we choose to do from our still place will be more effective and more impactful. Yes, as long as we're living under a brain, let's do our best to keep that brain connected to our heart. We are in the business of helping others to find that still place in themselves, that place of healing, of power, of ease, of love. Let's make sure, first, that we're coming from that place ourselves, so we can continue to help lead humanity back into the light, back into sanity, back into ease, back into love. Yeah. Stew on that. And I'll see you next week.